Today on the pastor's study, we're going to continue our lesson that we did last time on the clothing of the high priest. The clothing of the high priest. In the previous lesson, it was stated that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Therefore, Jesus was both God and man. The clothing of the high priest shows both sides of this fact. In the first part of this lesson, the priestly garment of glory and beauty represented the glory that Jesus had with the Father before he came to this earth in the form of a man. This lesson will look at the garments of the high priest that were worn on the Day of Atonement, which represent Jesus as a man becoming the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Now, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, the material on it is covered in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 to 34. Now, the Day of Atonement was a special day for the nation of Israel. It was a day when the high priest would offer a yearly sacrifice for the sins of himself and the people. Note that five animals were used on the Day of Atonement. Five in the Bible is the number of death. The high priest was to take a bullock for a sin offering for himself, and a ram for a burnt offering for himself. Then he was to take two kids of the goats for a sin offering for the people of Israel, and a ram for a burnt offering for the children of Israel. The high priest was to put on the linen garments only for the offering of sin offerings. First, the high priest would take the bullock, which was a sin offering for himself, and kill it. And then he would take the blood into the most holy place and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat with his fingers seven times. In regards to the two kids of the goats for the sin offering for Israel, he would take them and cast lots upon them. One lot for the Lord's, and the other for the scapegoat. After he had offered the sacrifice for himself, he was to take the kid of the goats upon whom the Lord's lot fell and offer him as a sin offering for the people, and take his blood with the most holy place and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. He is also to take the blood and reconcile the holy place, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar. Then the high priest would take the scapegoat and lay both hands upon his head and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and their transgressions and all their sins. The scapegoat was to then be led into the wilderness by hand of a fit man. Now let's look at the typology in the two goats. The Day of Atonement is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First note that the high priest had to offer a sacrifice for himself. Jesus, because he was sinless, did not have to offer a sacrifice for himself. We read in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27, the word of God says this: who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For he did this once, when he offered up himself. Next note that the reason for the two goats is because Jesus would not only die, but he would be resurrected. Thus, in the Old Testament, there needed to be two goats in order to have one die and the other one live. This pictures Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. Now, note also, in the Old Testament, when a person was cleansed from leprosy, there were two birds used, one two died and one to live. Once again, pointing to the death, burial, and resurrection. Let's read in Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 8. In this passage, the words of God say this: And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This will be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar, amen, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shall shave off all hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Now, let's look at the clothing on the Day of Atonement. Note that on the Day of Atonement, the high priest did not wear the garments of glory and beauty, but he was to put on just the linen garments. Look in Leviticus chapter 16 with me. Verse number 4, Leviticus 16, verse 4, the Word of God says this: And he shall put on the holy linen garment, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh and water, and so put them on. What this speaks of is Jesus putting aside the glory that he had before the world began, and taking on the form of a man and becoming obedient unto death. Let's look in Philippians together, chapter 2 in Philippians, in verses 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. The Word of God says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look also with me, if you would, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 9 through 18. Hebrews 2, verses 9 through 18, the Word of God says this: But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I in the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Note also that after the scapegoat was carried into the wilderness, that the high priest, amen, that the high priest was to go back into the tabernacle of the congregation and take off the linen garments and put on other garments on. Off the linen garments and put other garments on. Then he was to go back out and offer the rams for burnt offerings for himself. Amen. In this, not only for himself, but the children of Israel, and in this we see two important types. Notice the wording in verse 23. Amen. When he took the linen garment off, he was to leave them there. He was to leave them there. Amen. That was in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 23. Okay, let me read it. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garment which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. So this pictures that when Jesus Christ makes his sacrifice, it is once and for all, because when he was resurrected, he had a glorified body. Now let's turn again to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9 this time. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, we're going to look at verses 11 through 15 of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. The Word of God says, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then also turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and 23 to 28. Hebrews 7, 23 to 28. The Word of God says, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, referring to Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmities. But the word of oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." You know, when you study the book of Hebrews, you see that things, that word better props up, amen. Jesus Christ is a better sacrifice, a better high priest, a better covenant we see, better promises. The book of Hebrews, that's right. Things are better than under the Old Testament law. Amen. The priests, the earthly priesthood. These priests were men and they died and they had to replace them. Amen. Not only that, they were sinners, just like you and I. But here we have a holy priesthood, a better priesthood with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. He is eternal. In fact, that's his ministry right now. He's our high priest. He sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and he maketh intercession for you and I who are born again, who are saved. What a blessing we have, that we have such a high priest. And as the Word of God says, he was tempted in all points like we were, but he didn't sin. He, if you're going through something right now, he knows how you feel, because he went through it himself. Amen. Jesus Christ is not some theologian. No, he's not. That teaches in the seminaries or cemeteries. Amen. He lived it. Amen. He is the light. The light that all must come to. Amen. To be saved. He is the truth and the way and the life. Now, it also pictures the fact that Jesus Christ is now our high priest, and he is there for us in that capacity, as I just said. Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. The Word of God says, "Seeing then now that we have a great high priest." Right now, we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens. He's resurrected. Amen. He's not in the grave. Amen. His body did not disintegrate and break down in the grave. No. He is very much alive. We serve a living, risen Savior. Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of God. That's who Jesus is. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we have a high priest that knows our what we're going through, the feelings of our infirmities. Because when he was on this earth and he walked this earth, amen, he felt and he went through everything that you and I went through. That was his man's side, but he didn't sin. That was his God's side. So, let us, because of what we read in verses 14 and 15, we have a great high priest in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who knows how we feel, what we're going through, because he felt it all. Because of that, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Now, that word boldly doesn't mean with arrogance, amen, or like you or I or something. No. That word boldly means with confidence. You and I can have confidence that when you and I go to the throne room of grace, that we are going to obtain what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised. Because he never lies. We can always depend on him. We can always trust in him. There's many things in this life that you cannot trust in. Amen. But there's one that you can trust in, the Lord Jesus Christ, the best friend that you and I could ever have. A friend who laid down his life for you and for me so that our sins could be forgiven and that you and I could have a home in heaven for eternity. Amen. Then it says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Mercy and grace. I don't know about you, dear listener, but I certainly need all the mercy and grace that God can provide. And I thank you that God's mercy and grace is bottomless. Amen. It never runs dry. Whenever you need it, how much you need it, it's always there. It's always available. Now, mercy, amen. Mercy is simply, amen, not getting something that you and I deserve. Amen. Not getting something that you and I deserve. An example? Well, because we're sinners, we're born with an Adamic nature, amen, that you and I deserve to die and go to hell. Okay? That's what we should get. But because of God's mercy, We're not going to get that. No, because through God's grace, grace is getting something that we don't deserve. It's God's grace, amen, we're saved by grace through faith, that keeps us out of hell, forgives our sins, amen. But there's all kinds of grace and all kinds of mercy for all kinds of situations. It covers it all, see? But if you want to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need, there is not a day that does not go by, my dear listeners, that I don't need God's mercy and I need His grace to help me to get through that day. And if you're honest with yourself, amen, if you're honest with yourself, you'll agree with me. You'll shout amen. You'll shout glory to God. And praise God, all we have to do is come. There's that word come. Come for salvation to Jesus. Come to His throne room of grace. Amen. That we, that you and I could obtain mercy and grace and find grace. That's the only source of where you're going to find grace is at the throne room of Almighty God. Amen. If you're listening today and you're not born again and saved, and you can't say 100% sure when you die you're going to heaven, then you need to come to the throne room of grace of God. He's offering His dear Son to save you. He sacrificed His only begotten Son to pay the penalty, to pay the price of your sins. And He wants to give you something that you don't deserve, so you won't get something that you deserve. Amen. So, when the high priest went out to offer the burnt offering, he had put on the garments of glory and beauty once. Amen. Once. Once Jesus had offered Himself as a sacrifice for sin, He was resurrected back to glory to become our high priest. Amen. That's His new office for us. He's our mediator between God and us. He reconciled us back to the Father, so that we can boldly come to that throne room of grace, amen, as He says, to obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Therefore, the garments of glory and beauty represent the glory that Jesus had before with God, and the linen garments represent the Lord becoming man to die on the cross, thus showing you and I that Jesus was both God and man at the same time. So that concludes our lesson on the garments of the high priest. I want to thank each and every one of you, this is Brother Gino, for joining me for the pastor study. I'll pray that you'll continue to join me each week. Until we meet again on the pastor study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.